Welcome. You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. May God help you to rightly understand and eternally benefit. By the way, if you are listening on an iPhone, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, thinking about family connections here in the sermon today, sometimes family connections for you and me, sometimes they can be good, sometimes they can be not so good. For example, imagine if you had a relative and that relative was a star pro athlete. Wouldn't it be neat to be able to say, oh yeah, I'm related to so-and-so? Or wouldn't it be nice to get free tickets, for example? What if, though, one of your family members happened to be a mass murderer? Would you want to connect with that person? Would you be glad to be related? Or would you even deny the connection if people said, well, hey, you have this last name, he has that last name, are you guys related? We wouldn't even want to say so. That would be a horrible connection. Well, in the sermon today, we're going to talk about a couple actual connections. We're thinking about our connection to Adam, and then by grace through faith, we're thinking about our connection to our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to understand that the connection to Adam, it is a big deal. It might not seem like it, oh, eating from the wrong tree, but it is a huge deal. It's a horrible reality. God wants us to know that. But then on the other side, he wants us to know how wonderful it is that he loved us, that he sent his son, and all that he did to make us right in his sight. We have to have a huge contrast. We can't be in the middle at all. God wants us to see that today as we focus here on Romans chapter 5, picking up in verse 12. The Bible says, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type, in other words, an example of the one who was to come. I don't think that's so easy to understand just with a quick reading there. So what I want to do is try to get into the contents of what I just read by stating five questions and then answering those questions. First of all, what was true of Adam and Eve when God made them? Number one, they were immortal, so they could not physically die, and they were also spiritually alive, so they were in a right relationship with God. Question number two, how did Adam and Eve become mortal? They were immortal. How did they become mortal? That happened when they dove into sin. God told them very clearly regarding a particular tree, in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. They knew that, and yet they ate from it anyway, and on that day, immediately, they died spiritually, and eventually, they would die physically. That's how they became mortal. Question number three, why did the sin of Adam and Eve spread to all people? That happened because everyone is related to Adam. You might notice too here that it's always putting the blame on Adam rather than on Eve. She's the one who ate first, but keep in mind though, Adam had the responsibility for her. He was standing right there. He didn't say anything. The blame goes upon him. Because we're all related, all of the horrible consequences come to every single person. Question number five, which sin brought death? Which sin brought death for us? In other words, was it our own sins? Is that what killed us? Or was it the sin of Adam? I want you to know it was the sin of Adam. Think about holy baptism. What do we say? A child, from the moment of conception, is spiritually dead. Why is that? Because of the sin of Adam. If we look at a child and say, oh, that child is innocent, that child doesn't need anything from God, that child is fine, then you're denying what the Bible says right here. God wants us to know that from Adam to every person, right from conception, they all had those horrible consequences upon them. And then Paul illustrates that. Did you catch what he wrote there? He said that from the time of Adam to the time of Moses, there were not particular laws that people were breaking and then dying. Think about Adam. God gave him a particular law, don't eat from that tree. He broke that law, he died. He sinned, he died. Well, with all the other people during that time, they didn't have a similar kind of a law. Why is that? Because for that period of time, how much time are we talking? We're talking 2,600 years. During all that time, they didn't yet have the Holy Scriptures like we have, because God used Moses in order to write down the first five books of the Bible. So during all that time, they didn't have a law like Adam had, and yet they lived and they died. So Paul is saying to us, can you see how sin and death passed to all those people? How do we know that? Because they all died. That's how we know that. So as we think about the section I've read so far, Adam, he dove into sin, so he brought sin and death upon himself. He brought sin and death upon everybody else in the entire human race, and there's no way for any of us of our own ability to be able to escape. That's pretty horrible, isn't it? God wants us to realize those sad things. As we think about the dominoes I set up here today, the first domino in this row being Adam, and when he fell, then everyone else fell. So even though there's a long distance in between, even though we seem to be very disconnected from Adam because of what he did as the representative of the entire human race, when he fell, all of us fell. And there's no way to fix it. But there's good news coming, though. God loves us, and God knows we can't fix it, so he had to take action, and in fact, he did. So we come now to the wonderful connection between us and our Lord Jesus Christ. I am going to say something, though, in just a couple minutes, and it's a very important thing, because it can kind of sound like, oh, everything is bad with Adam, everything is wonderful with Christ. And there's a little bit of a catch to it. We'll come to that here in just a moment. Paul continued writing, picking up in verse 15, but the free gift, that would be the gift of forgiveness, is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. So think about it. Adam's sin brought death to everyone, and that's horrible, but God's love and God's gift of forgiveness through Jesus, that did the opposite, and that's wonderful. That's really what he's stating there. And then he goes on in verse 16, and the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So think about that. It only took one sin from Adam to be able to knock down the entire human race. But when our Lord Jesus Christ did his work, was he taking away that one sin? No, not at all. He was taking away that sin of Adam, that first sin, but he was also taking away every other sin of every other person of all time. So you can see that what Jesus did was not simply equal to what Adam did, one sin, one taking away of one sin, but rather it was much, much different, much, much more wonderful. God wants us to see that reality. And then Paul went on in verse 17, for if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. This is what I was talking about before, how there's an important difference here. Now, with Adam, his sin definitely brought sin and death to the entire human race. And with our Lord Jesus Christ, what he did objectively take every sin, and he did objectively take all of the punishment. In an objective sense, heaven is open for everyone. However, though, we need to go subjectively and realize that though Christ has done it for everyone, not everyone has what he did. What I'm trying to say is with Adam, automatically all the bad, all the horrible comes to everyone. Because of what Christ did, it's not an automatic. It doesn't automatically come to everyone. It's there for everyone. God wants everyone to receive it, but it must be received by grace through faith. God has to draw us. God has to enable us to be able to receive the benefits of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we know we live in a world today where many people are coming up with all kinds of reasons why they don't need Jesus. Some people say he's just a man, so how can he help me? Some people say I'm good enough without him, so I don't need him. And all kinds of other reasons. God wants us to know that we all desperately need him. What he did is for everyone. He did a finished work, and it's so wonderful. But yet, if we don't have him, then we don't have the wonder that God wants us to have. Finally, in the end here, verse 18, Paul is doing a little bit of summarizing, I believe, and we have two opposite actions. He wrote, "Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men." So bad news with what Adam did, it brought condemnation. Good news with what Jesus did, it brings salvation. And then finally he wrote regarding two opposite results. He wrote, "For as by one man's disobedience, the many," and many here means all, so the all were made sinners, "so by one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous." So righteous in an objective sense, but not righteous in a subjective sense only, who by grace through faith receive Jesus Christ and the benefits of what he has done. God wants us to know the good news that the God-man, our Lord Jesus Christ, he has won our forgiveness, and now it's being freely distributed to all people. He wants us to know that having received it in holy baptism, now continuing in the blessings of baptism, knowing that we are clothed in Jesus Christ, knowing that we have God's forgiveness, knowing that the Holy Spirit does dwell within us, he wants us to know that we are right in his sight. We are his holy children. We are forgiven. Heaven is open for us. So as horrible as it was with what came from Adam, let's acknowledge that, but let's know that what came from our Lord Jesus Christ is so wonderful, it overcomes all of the horrible, and now in Christ, we are forgiven. We are blessed in him now and forever. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, our sins are never good. Turn us from them. But let us also know that Adam's sin is what killed us. However, let us also know that you love us so much and that Jesus' finished work has saved us. So let us never trust in any good thing that we do, but let us always trust in him and know that in him we are forgiven. In him we are blessed now and forever. In his name we give you thanks. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have a Bible question, contact me, Robert Green, through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church home, see our website and attend with us. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all.